त्रिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम टू अ भगवद्गीता भक्तिशास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर नाउ इन द 17th चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद्गीता। वी आर डिस्कसिंग अबाउट यज्ञ दान तप इन द 3 मोड्स। सो वी डिस्कस्ड अबाउट यज्ञ। नाउ एज अ पार्ट ऑफ तप we'll be discussing about austerity of body, austerity of mind and austerity of speech. So let's start that discussion now. 17.14 in the Bhagavad Gita, we discuss the 13th verse. Deva dvija guru prajna pujanam shaucha marjavam brahmacharya mahimsacha shariram tapa uchyate. So deva dvija guru prajna. So here is describing that we should respect pujanam. Pujanam means, it doesn't necessarily have to mean doing puja literally. That can also be one aspect of it. So it doesn't necessarily mean doing worship, but it basically means respecting. So doing puja is one way of expressing respect. So who are all the people to be respect? Deva. Deva can refer to the Supreme Lord. Deva can refer to the Devatas also. So Prabhupada explains that Deva refers to Supreme Lord, because ultimately the Supreme Lord is the greatest of all the Devas. So Deva is also referred to when we want to contrast and establish his supreme position. But Deva is also one way to refer to the Supreme Lord. So Deva Dvija Guru Prajna. Dvija are the Brahmanas. Guru is all Brahmanas in general are spiritual teachers, but there is one particular Brahman who becomes our specific spiritual master. Deva Dvija Guru Prajna, and in general anybody who is advanced in knowledge. So Chanakya Pandit says that a powerful person may be respected in his own area, but a knowledgeable person is able to earn respect everywhere because of the wisdom that that person has. So Prajna, one who is wise, is respected. So these are all people we should respect. Deva Dvija Guru Prajna Pujanam Shaucham Arjavam Shaucham. Cleanliness. Cleanliness means, as we have talked about this repeatedly, several times it has come in the Bhagavad Gita, internal and external cleanliness. Arjavam. Arjavam is, as Prabhupada translates over here, simplicity or straightforwardness. This is also quality we mentioned earlier. Brahmacharyam ahimsacha shariram tapa uchyate. So all these are shariram tapa. They are austerities of the body. What is it? So brahmacharya ahimsa cha. So brahmacharya ahimsa, is interesting that Krishna has coupled them together over here. Earlier we saw how Krishna was coupling in kama and krodha together. So kama krodha vimuktanam kama krodhodbhavam vegam. So he has been coupling kama and krodha together several times in the Bhagavad Gita. So kama, the way to control kama is to practice brahmacharya. The way to control krodha is to practice ahimsa. So brahmacharya ahimsa cha shariram tapa uchyate shariram tapa. These are austerities of the body. So in general, all our activities can be classified into these three categories: those which we do with the body, with the speech and with the mind. So we also discussed about these different vegas, which Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur also classifies into bodily, mental and verbal. So the sannyasis also have the tatridanda, which also indicates that they will, which has three parts in it, and which indicates us they will serve the Lord with their body, with their mind and with their speech. So deva dvija. So what is Prabhupada telling over here in his purport? Let's have a look briefly. So Prabhupada says one should offer or learn to offer. And Prabhupada also includes God or the demigods. That means what? Offer or learn to offer. That means austerity is also something which we may not feel like doing, but we do it. Now when the devotee is asked, Prabhupada told the devotees the etiquette of offering obeisances to the spiritual master. And the devotee is asked, Prabhupada, we don't feel like doing it. When the devotee asked Prabhupada, you know, I don't, he was, the devotee is not offering obeisances. So Prabhupada asked him, why are you not offering obeisances? You know, Prabhupada had to educate devotees. He himself had to ask. So at that time the devotee said that, Prabhupada, I didn't feel like offering obeisances. So Prabhupada said, you do offer obeisances, then gradually the feeling will come. So it is said that when the deities come in front of us, when the darshan opens, the advanced devotees, they feel so ecstatic, they feel so overwhelmed with joy, that often they faint in ecstasy. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes when you would get darshan of Krishna, just run in that direction and then suddenly faint completely. So that is the idea, that when pure devotees, advanced devotees, they get darshan of Krishna, they faint. And if we can't faint, then at least we fall down. So when there is pure love, there will be ecstatic fainting, but at least if not, then there is falling. Falling in obeisances. This is austerity. Even if we don't feel like doing it, do it. What will happen? By this itself, a proper set of culture, our cultural impressions are created within our minds. So we learn to offer respect. All these are bodily austerities. So ahimsa means somebody provokes us. At that time it requires willpower and discipline to not lash out and hit out at somebody who has provoked us. So how do we avoid that provocation? That is an austerity. How do we avoid getting provoked when the provocation comes? That is an austerity. Now, in general, in material life, people may suggest that count till 10 so that you don't come to anger. That may help. A devotee may chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra 10 times. A devotee may remember some verses which talk about the danger of anger. But in general, every devotee has to develop one's own pause button. Pause button means just like when a movie is playing and then we don't want it to move onwards, so pause. So like that, when we are moving forward, at that time we realize that, oh, I'm not going in the right, I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm doing something which, if I move in this direction, I will end up doing something dangerous. So then, tuck, we have to have our own pause button which checks us. So what does the pause button mean? Pause button doesn't necessarily mean that we have to become motionless completely. Pause button means we have to stop our mind from following its default trajectory towards temptation and then fall down. So that pause button may be for some devotees by chanting, for some devotees by hearing kirtans, by maybe reading one's own, some inspirational passages which we have taken from scripture, which we have some motivational points we have heard in classes. All of us have to. This is where the individual aspect of Krishna consciousness comes up. Now, I have my mind, you have your mind. And the way you will fight with your mind will be different from the way I will fight with my mind. So we all have to find out our ways and fight according to our ways, whatever those ways may be. So that's how we fight against the mind and we make spiritual advancement. So we'll have to individualize. Although the principles are universal, but the specific ways in which we apply them may be different for different individuals. But this is austerity of the body. So it's interesting now that what is put as simplicity. Now arjavam can be translated as straightforwardness, which will be more a inner attribute. Arjavam can be translated as simplicity also. So now the word Arjuna is related with the word Arjavam, Arjavam, Arjuna. So they have a similar cognate sense. The idea is that Arjavam means simplicity. So the more simpler we live, the more we have time for higher thought. Simple living and high thinking. Why is it mentioned? Prabhupada also talks about plain living and high thinking. Why? Because the simpler our living, the more we have time for high thinking. The more complex our living, then the more our thoughts get caught up in the living only. So this doesn't mean that a devotee cannot use technology, a devotee cannot have opulence. No, what is required? What is required? The media pressure, the cultural pressure is such that today, that people acquire gadgets and conveniences and trinkets just for the sake of glamour, just for the sake of prestige. We discussed earlier about shopaholism. So for a devotee, what will simplicity be? That will vary according to time, place, circumstance. And every devotee has to decide what level of engagement with material things is necessary for my my service, my social position, and what necessary level of engagement is sucking me in. So that is something which every devotee has to decide and accordingly live. We may not be able to disconnect ourselves entirely from material, from technology and such things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to entangle ourselves, let ourselves get completely entangled in them. So instead of simple living and high thinking, many people end up simply living and hardly thinking. Simply living, hardly thinking. What does that mean? That means, it's not that people are hardly thinking, they're not thinking. See, everybody thinks. We are all the time thinking. Even when a he-dog is attracted to a she-dog, the he-dog is thinking. So when a male is attracted to female or a female is attracted to male, they're thinking. But that thinking is not really considered thinking because it's simply at the bodily level. It's at the animal level. And there's nothing very exalted about that. So therefore, real thinking is thinking at the spiritual level. And simple living facilitates high thinking. And the living is complex, then, I have to do this also, I have to manage that also, I have to take care of this also, I have to do. So, to-dos at the material level itself become so many and so complex, and they suck our mental energy. So, Prabhupada is talking here about Arjuna's simplicity. Generally, the more wealth we earn, the more we rise in social status, but then the more we have to struggle to maintain that social status also. And that also brings its own entanglements. That also brings its own irritations. That also brings its own complications and agitations. That's why a devotee tries to live as simply as is possible, given the limitations of time, place and circumstance. Now, after describing this, now of course we will not go too much into brahmacharya because that has been a topic which we have discussed repeatedly over here. Brahmacharati iti brahmacharya. One who tries to live on the spiritual platform, that is a brahmacharya. Then, anudvega karam vakyam, satyam priyahitam chayat, swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva, vanmayam tapa uchyate. Anudvega karam vakyam, anudvega karam vakyam, anudvega means to decrease the agitation. Anudvega karam vakyam, that which does not cause agitation. The words which do not agitate others, then satyam priya hitam chayat. Satyam, those which are truthful. Priya, those which are pleasing. And then those which are beneficial. Swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. That means words which involve swadhyay, study, and then abhyasanam, practice. So Prabhupada translates this as recitation of scripture. Regular reciting scripture. Swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. We study and then we recite scripture. All this is vanmayam tapa uchyate. Vanmayam tapa. Austerity of the speech. So Prabhu, we have discussed earlier in Vacho Vegam how the materialistic tendency is to talk about hundreds and millions of things. And the spiritual tendency is to, and the spiritual inclination is to keep the speech chaste and focused on Krishna and things related with Krishna. So here Krishna is not necessarily talking about bhakta. He is talking in general about austerity. And he is talking about how even from a material point of view, one should be able to discipline and regulate oneself. So anudvega karam vakyam. How should one speak? Generally speaking, sarcasm is often considered to be a sign of intelligence. Where people want to hurt others. And they speak in such a way that the more they can hurt others, the more they think that they are clever. But actually, to be sarcastic may require cleverness. But that's not really the desirable use of cleverness. The desirable use of cleverness is to bring others closer to us and closer to Krishna through us. Or even closer to the right track in general, even at the material level. So by agitating people, whether that is going to happen, it's unlikely. Very often, we may end up not educating but alienating people if we speak strongly. Sometimes we talk about how the spiritual master or the sadhu cuts So the sadhu cuts, and what does the sadhu cut? The material attachments of the conditioned souls. And sadhu cuts the material attachments of the conditioned souls and helps them to come to closer to Krishna. So that is used, that example of that in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Madhura speaks strongly to Dhritarashtra and gets him out of his attachments. So that is good. To get somebody out of material entanglement. But we see that Vidura before that had a long history of a very deep and intimate relationship with Dhritarashtra. And then when he spoke those words penetrated. Otherwise, the words don't penetrate. We may end up, you know, sometimes when we chastise people, instead of cutting their anarthas, the bija of the anarthas, we may end up cutting their bhakti lata bija only. That means Bhakti Lata Abhi is that which is to be nourished and that which should grow. But when people are reckless, then while cutting, our intention may be to cut the anarthas, but our speech may discourage people so much in the name of chastising and disciplining and correcting that we end up cutting the Bhakti Lata Abhi only. And we cut the Bhakti Lata Abhi and then people can get lost. We may think that I have spoken Krishna's message for that other person's good. But good intentions are not good enough. Now people should feel the trust in us. People should feel that we are their well-wishers. Then they will be able to see our good intention. Otherwise they will see us through their default filters of suspicion and skepticism. And then when we speak strongly or we speak what they feel as harshly, insensitively, then they may just close down and then they will go away from Krishna by that. So, and this is not just with respect to Krishna consciousness, even in normal human relationships. There are most of the relationship conflicts within a family, within any social circle. Most of the relationship conflicts come up because of carelessness in speech, because of insensitivity in dealing with people. So anudvayi karam vakyam. Whenever we have to speak, it's not that we have to speak false just to make sure that people's mind don't get agitated. But Krishna is putting satyam as second. The first he is putting as anudvayi karam. Speak in a non-agitating way. That doesn't mean speak false. Speak the truth. As is the Subhashita, he says satyam bruyat priyam bruyat. Na bruyat satyam apriyam, na andritam satyam, na andritam priyam bruyat, esha dharma sanatana. What is this? Satyam bruyat priyam bruyat. So speak the truth, but speak it palatably. Speak palatable truth. Na bruyat satyam apriyam. If some truth is unpalatable, then better not speak it. Na andritam priyam bruyat. That don't speak false just because it is falsehood, just because it's palatable. Esha dharma sanatana. This is the eternal principle. As Chanakya Pandit says that the most important, if somebody wants to rule the whole world, the most important power for that person is the power of proper speech. In the person, a person who has the power to speak properly, that person can strike alliances, make friendships, forge treaties, build bridges, and mobilize people and resources to be able to eventually rule the whole world. It's not just by sheer power or just by brute force that one can conquer others. So now we may say as devotees, Prabhupada also say a devotee should call a spade, that's true. But we also have to see that there are many times when Prabhupada was sensitive in his preaching. You know, Prabhupada could differentiate between philosophical differences and cultural etiquettes. Even when Srila Prabhupada was with Dr. Mishra, in New York, when Prabhupada came initially to New York, at that time he was staying with Dr. Mishra. At that time, and this Dr. Mishra was a Mayavadi. And Prabhupada would have philosophical, they would often have strong philosophical differences. But then, in spite of that, when they were living together, Prabhupada was cooking for him. Prabhupada was serving him food. And he said that my timings were so unregulated that I would have fallen sick and I would have not lived also. But as Prabhupada practically by his regulated eating habits, and he would force me to, and that's how I survived. So Prabhupada did not think, oh, this person is a Mayavadi, let him starve to death. No, Prabhupada did not. No, Prabhupada was, as a person, as a human being, was very cordial and congenial. as a matter of philosophy, there might be differences. But that doesn't mean that we have to forget basic human etiquette in relationship with others. So, Prabhupada had a heart of compassion. And people could feel that compassion when they interact with him because of his purity and potency. Now, if we think that preaching gives us a license to speak harshly, then we are completely mistaking what preaching means. Preaching means speaking in a way that helps people come closer to Krishna. Certainly, this requires at times for us to speak not so purely. It does require sometimes for us to speak things that are going to be unpalatable to people, but that doesn't mean that we have to make a mission of speaking those things. In sometimes when we have to give feedback to people, so I am an editor for Back to God, and so when people submit articles, the articles come to us, then we give feedback. So in general, we try to follow a formula of plus minus plus. Plus means tell some positives which will encourage people, then tell some rooms for improvement, and then ends with some positive again. So often it works that at least, you know, there should be some room for improvement, some positive, some appreciation should be given, and along with that some room for improvement may also be given. So generally, if we just keep agitating people, then we will not be able to elevate them. We may end up alienating them more and more. So even if our intention is to do good, still anudhehika karam vakyam. By non-agitating speech, we help people to calm down. We help people to open their minds and open their hearts. And then, satyam priya hitam chayat. Speak the truth, speak pleasing truth, and hitam chayat. In a way that is beneficial. Just like a doctor. A doctor's behavior itself should be such that the patient feels reassured and comforted by that. You know, if a patient has got a diagnosis of cancer, and the doctor himself becomes agitated and scared, then the patient will just lose heart completely at that time. Now, of course, if the doctor is just stone-hearted and doesn't show any compassion, any emotion, that is also not proper. But the doctor has to have maintain some level of objectivity. Even if the doctor has to give bad news, still it can be done in a non-agitating way, as much as possible. So, anudvega karam vakyam, satyam priya hitam chayat, and swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. Swadhyaya is study, abhyasanam is repetition or practice. So, how do we study and practice? In this case, Prabhupada translates it as by memorizing and reciting scripture. So, Srila Prabhupada himself in the early days of the movement recited. When he started, he would just give the classes and he would quote the shlokas. But once he started the Bhagavatam class, then Srila Prabhupada took some extreme and some step which was quite dramatic as well as a bit alarming for devotees. He would have started having the Bhagavatam shloka written down, and he would ask all devotees to recite the shloka. So he would recite it, and not only would he recite it, afterwards he would ask all devotees to recite it. And this was in Los Angeles, and the devotees in Los Angeles were quite wild. As compared to the Lower East Side in New York, the Haight Ashbury area in Los Angeles was much more wild. The hippies in that generation were completely into all kind of things. When a person would go high on drugs, that person would be considered to be LSD saint. LSD saint means, just like there can be a bhakti saint or a jnana saint, and there will be somebody who by some method has got some very great realization. So after taking LSD, whatever the person speaks, this is actually the person's wisdom speaking from within. So people who treat people, these people who had gone high on LSD, like saints. So in such a culture, to infuse appropriate amount of gravity in the study of scripture was difficult. Srila Prabhupada would give classes, but there were some people who were just becoming devotees. They might be coming down for drugs, or some other people who were just walking in and just seeing what is going on. So the mood was very, adequate gravity was not there. So what did Srila Prabhupada do? He made everyone recite. And not only would everyone have to recite, if somebody would recite a verse wrong, Prabhupada would correct their pronunciation. Not like this, speak like this. And then all the devotees are forced to become serious. So generally, hearing is a passive activity. Just sit and hear. And unless there is some exam or something like that, you know, nobody can find out also how much we heard. It is that, okay, I have to sit and hear. But when there is something, after hearing, we have to speak something. Then we have to, the whole thing becomes much more serious. And we have to take things much more attentively, much more gravely. So Prabhupada introduced this recitation of scriptures. And he wanted devotees also as much as possible to recite scripture, to memorize scripture. Sometimes we feel, oh, memorizing is such a big strain for my head. I can't memorize. It's very difficult to memorize verses. Well, it may be true that it's difficult to memorize verses. But actually the fact is, nothing worthwhile is easy in this world. We have to put in efforts if we want something worthwhile in life. The fact is that memorization of verses will not burden the head. It will unburden the heart. It will not burden the head. It will unburden the heart. How will it unburden the heart? Because when we memorize scripture, at that time we will find that this memorized scripture will become a shelter for us in times of stress and distress. When we feel too much burdened by too many things, or when we feel that everything has gone wrong and we're feeling disheartened, when there is stress or there is distress, at that time, if we recite appropriate verses from scriptures, when we are feeling too much troubled with things, yamhina vyathayante te purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpate. One who doesn't get agitated amidst misery and pleasure, such a person will attain eternity. Just reciting this verse will calm us down. Or we can recite how Krishna kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Just memorizing verses like that can have a tremendously calming and a comforting effect on us. So, even meditating on the translations like that or reciting the translations may also help. At the same time, the original Sanskrit itself has its potency. Either way, the point is that knowledge in books is like knowledge in the bank account. Knowledge in the memory is like money in the pocket. So, money in the bank account means it is there, but I have to do some processes by which I will get the money out of the bank account. But money in the pocket means it is much more readily accessible. So, like that, if we have memorized verses, then that is like money, that is readily accessible spiritual resource for us. When an enemy attacks, suppose two groups of armies are fighting on the battlefield, and a soldier says, "Hey, wait, I forgot to get my weapon. Let me go get my weapon, then we'll fight." You go and I will go, before you go to your encampment, you will go to the next world. The soldier will shoot the enemy like that. So we need to be ready. So memorized verses can act as weapons for us, which enable us to take shelter of Krishna in whatever situations we may be in. So Prabhupada also explained, this means that one should quote scripture. One should quote scripture. A process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. One should at once quote from scripture authority to back up what one is saying. So that is Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva. Then, let's look at austerities of the mind. Mana Prasad Saumyattam Maunamatma Vinigraha Bhava Samshuddhirityetat Tapomana Samuchyate. So Mana Prasad Saumyattam Mana Prasad. Mana Prasad means satisfaction. Saumyattam is without being duplicitous towards other. Now Prabhupada translated this also as simplicity, but this is a different kind of simplicity. We'll come back to it. Maunam is silence, or Prabhupada translated as gravity. Atma vinigraha, self-control. And then bhava samshuddhirityetad. Bhava samshuddhi is a purification of existence. That is tapomana samuchyate. This is a austerity of the mind. Let's look at these one by one. Satisfaction. Manaha prasad. Many times we feel, I am not satisfied in life. I am not satisfied. Yes, we all may, even as devotees also, sometimes we may not feel satisfied. So we have to recognize that satisfaction is not just emotion. Satisfaction is also a decision. What does that mean? Satisfaction is not just an emotion. It's not a it's a feeling that will come on its own. Satisfaction is also a choice. It's a decision. For example, if I have a house of a particular size, and say my relative has got a bigger house. Now, if I constantly keep thinking, oh, my relative has got a bigger house, then what will happen? I cannot be satisfied. But if I take a decision, okay, my goal in life is not to get the biggest house in the world. Now, how big my house is, is not going to matter ultimately in regards to how happy I am going to be in life. So, what will matter is actually not we are determined not by our possessions but our decisions. Our values, our commitments, they determine who we are. So if we keep them straight and focused, then we can achieve a lot no matter what be the situation in our life otherwise. So therefore, Mana Prasad, Prabhupada writes in his purport that the more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. More we think of sense enjoyment, if we meditate on the objects of senses, we will become agitated. But satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. Only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. So, in general, our mind has a default to see what we don't have and to crave for that. So, okay, these objects of sense enjoyment I don't have. This I don't have, that I don't have, that I don't have. But if I think of what all I have, that's how satisfaction will come. So, in general, now the whole advertising industry is a dissatisfaction producing industry. In fact, customer dissatisfaction is the fuel that runs today's consumer economy. But actually, consumer economy is not the most essential economy. The most essential aspects of the economy is necessities economy. You know, necessities is food, clothing, shelter, and what we need biologically and physically for living. And they are the necessities. Most of the consumer products are not really necessities. They are luxuries, which because of today's social conditions may seem like necessities. But okay, I need a cell phone. But it is not that. I need to keep getting the latest cell phone every single time some new development happens and some new feature is added to a cell phone. I can freeze. Okay, this is what I want. This is what my functions are required. I'll use them. That's good enough for me. So Mana Prasad. In this way we can have Mana Prasad. Saumyatvam. So Prabhupada says, how can we develop this Mana Prasada? It's not just don't think of things. How don't think of those things? But we have to think of something. So Prabhupada says, think about Krishna's pastimes. Now Krishna is all attractive. And the more we think of his pastimes, the more our mind becomes, and heart becomes satisfied. So in general, the important point is to recognize that all of us will have to battle with dissatisfaction, but that battle with dissatisfaction will be much lesser or it will be not so difficult to win if we have a satisfying alternative object of thought. So Krishna and Krishna's pastimes are that satisfying object of thought, and the more we absorb ourselves in Krishna's pastimes, the less we will be caught in less we will feel agitated by material thoughts. Mana Prasad, Saumyatvam. Saumyatvam is softness, gentleness, simpleness. As Prabhupada translates over here, Krishna has earlier talked about Saumya Rupa. Oh Arjuna, please show your gentle. Krishna has been told by Arjuna. Arjuna says to Krishna, please, you have shown your Ugra Rupa, the Kala Rupa which you showed in the 11th chapter. Very frightening. Now you show your Saumya Rupa. Please show your gentle form. So, like that, Saumyatvam. Saumyatvam. Saumyatvam will help us. And then, so gentleness, and then simplicity. Now, simplicity is also a state of the mind. In general, if we think harsh thoughts about others, we get complex. And don't get into complexities. Ultimately, one of the complexities we get into is trying to get into philosophical integrities of everything. We are not God, and we can't understand everything about everything. We have to focus on what are the most important things for me in my spiritual life, and focus on them and utilize them. And then manasamatha mauna atma vinigraha. Now it's interesting, mauna literally means mauna, like we say mauna vrata, that means silence. Now if we want to talk about mauna, mauna would normally be an austerity of the speech. Vanmayam tapochyate, but Krishna has put it here as austerity of the mind. And Prabhupada aptly, seeing Krishna's context, is translating that as gravity. So mauna is not just a state of speech, it's a state of mind. Sometimes some people may take a mauna vrata, but then they may use a slate for writing and communicating, and with the slate they write so much that they end up speaking more than what they would have spoken. They take more trouble also for speaking, and others also have more trouble because first somebody writes and then you read, and then again it just makes things complicated. So is it really serving a purpose? That is the question. So mauna is not just physically shutting the mouth. Actually, sometimes it is said that people speak because they find sound more tolerable than silence. People speak because what is happening is inside, their mind is wild, their mind is agitated. What about this, that? So much anxiety, so much passion, so much irritations. Their mind is crying and squealing and screaming and screeching and shouting. And they just can't tolerate that. Just get away from the mind, speak something. You speak something, I'll speak something, and I'll get away from the mind. Or if there's no one to speak, then turn on a television and let it speak. And what happens? Somehow, get away from the mind, get away from the mind. So real mauna is not just a state of the speech, it is a state of mind, state of the mind. So when the mind is peaceful, that's why Prabhupada talks about gravity. And the opposite of gravity is frivolity or levity. Frivolity means when the occasion is serious. You know, for example, say there's a funeral and somebody has died, and then suddenly somebody starts telling a joke and laughing over there. Everybody, a group of people laughing. You know, that is so insensitive over there to do something like that. Now, if that joke is about that departed person and you are somehow appreciating that person, that's a different issue. But if it's something not related to that at all, it's very inappropriate. It's very insensitive. So in general, we are all on the verge of death. You know, we don't know who of us is going to die when, and it can happen any time. So when we understand the impermanence and the fragility of material existence, then that makes us grave, gravity. So Prabhupada writes, another way of becoming grave is by thinking about the welfare of others. And generally, if we are just thinking about ourselves, then, oh, my problem. The problem with the problems is that the more we think about the problem, the bigger the problems become. Generally, if we are not having a clear plan and a steady commitment to deal with the problem, then just thinking about the problem makes the problem bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And we don't solve the problem at all in this way. So it's better that we don't think about the problem, instead we think about Krishna. And we think about Krishna, we think, it's difficult for us to think about Krishna. What do I think? Okay, Krishna's flute is long, or Krishna's flute is short, because his complexion is blue. Now, that is one way we can think about Krishna, which is good if we can. But that is not, it may not be possible to meditate on Krishna unless we have love for Krishna. To meditate for a long time is difficult. So then we can think about how we can connect others with Krishna, how we can benefit others. As a doctor thinks about how I can cure my patients, how I can help my patients, similarly, a person can think about how I can help others. And that is very auspicious for us as well as for others. So in this way, we can move forward in our spiritual life. Maunam atma vinigraha, atma vinigraha is self-control. Again, Krishna is putting that in the category of the mind. Why? Because all falls begin with the mind. You know, there is contemplation on the sense objects. Now, thoughts of the sense objects may have sources from outside or sources from inside. So, the sources may be something which I see, or sources may be something which is a flashback in the memory from the past. But whatever the source is, but after that there is contemplation. And it is that contemplation that leads to, eventually, if their contemplation is unchecked, it will lead to degradation. So, atma vinigraha, self-control, means that we don't frivolously think about sense objects. We focus on thinking about Krishna and how to connect others with Krishna. And then bhava samshuddhir tyetat, bhava samshuddhir, purification. Again, purification, Krishna is saying, it's primarily an austerity of the mind. Why? Because impure and pure actions begin with impure and or pure thoughts. So if we think purely, it may not always be easy, but as soon as we realize, okay, the mind has gone off track, then bring it back on track. Don't let the mind go on the impure thoughts for too long. Bring it back on track. So then, that is tapo manasam uchyate. All this is austerity of the mind. So in this way, Krishna gives a clear understanding of how one can practice Krishna consciousness. So for a devotee, maunam is in terms of not just silence but gravity. And gravity comes by meditating on Krishna, thinking about Krishna and talking about Krishna also. So mauna can also be talking about Krishna. Now Prabhupada, now Krishna describes, okay, these are in general faculties of attributes of body, mind and speech. So how do the austerities be performed? So Krishna says that this can be performed in the three modes. So when one performs it in goodness, then that is that that will be austerity in the mode of goodness. Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividham nare afalakankshi bhir yuktai satvikam parichakshate. So shraddhaya paraya taptam, shraddhaya paraya, that means with great faith, with strong faith. Prabhupada paraya translates as transcendental. So shraddhaya paraya taptam, that which is executed austerity. Tapastat trividham narai. Trividham means the three kinds of austerity that I have been talked about earlier. Narai, those human beings, when they perform this, afala akanksha bhir yuktai, without the akanksha of phala, that is sattvikam parichakshate. So again and again Krishna talks about how austerity should be performed in goodness. Characteristic is non-attachment to the results. The attachment is primarily to Krishna, not to the results. Non-attachment to results. That is auspicious. And then shraddhaya paraya taptam. Now we may wonder that if the austerity is in goodness, how can the faith be transcendental? If the faith is transcendental, won't the austerity be transcendental? Yes, it will gradually become transcendental when the person goes to transcendental consciousness. Sometimes we may, by the association of devotees, have faith in transcendence even when we ourselves are not at the transcendental level. So that's how we may have faith in transcendence. So we may practice the principles of pure devotional service, although we are not yet pure, because we are inspired by a pure devotee. Shraddhaya paraya tapta. So that's how transcendental. Then Krishna will describe in the mode of passion. Satkaramana pujartham tapodambhena chaivayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalamadhruvam. So satkaramana pujartham. Satkar is respect. Satkar especially means in a public forum, a person is felicitated, honored, respected. Satkar man puja artham. So man is honor and puja is worship. Tapodam bhena chaivayat. And perform one's austerity for that. Tapodam bhena. So one is actually motivated by damba, by the desire to show off with pride. Kriyate tad iha proktam. When one does this, all this, rajasam chalam adhruvam. This is rajasam chalam. This is rajasam in the mode of, it's flickering and it is adhruvam. It is not factual. It won't last for long. Why? Because sometimes we take a resolution, you know. Say, I will never eat sweets again in my lifetime. You know, we take that austerity. We decide, why like that? You know, we want to tell others, show others how austere I am. You know, I don't take any sweets. And then one day, 2 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, it goes on. And then after that, what happens is, maybe in private, you know, we take it all with reinstall, with extra installments also, as if it all compensated. So idea is that it's not a devotee's against sweets. And of course, if a devotee wants to avoid sweets for some reason, that's also okay. The point which I'm making is, sometimes we do austerity for the sake of getting honor. Sometimes I may fast on Ekadashi, and then if I am going on fasting on Ekadashi and I am seeing, you know, who all are eating how much, no sense control, so much eating this person is doing. So if that is my attitude, then what am I doing? My body may be fasting, but my ego is feasting. My ego is feasting. And actually that fasting, rather than helping me to make spiritual advancement, will become a big hurdle in my spiritual advancement. That fasting will boost my ego. And fasting is generally good. But any kind of austerity, if it is done with passionate intentions, then if it leads to increase of passion, that will be unproductive and counterproductive. So what we do is important, but why we do what we do is even more important. So we can't just reject. If somebody is doing fasting, we shouldn't think, hey, this fasting, that's for sure that person is doing, you know. That person just wants a reputation that I am such a self-controlled person. That is not how we should think about others. That person is maybe advanced devotee, that person has a serious commitment because of which he wants to advance. And that's how he's doing this. But for ourselves, we should be more introspective. Then, so people say, they arrange to be worshipped by subordinates and let them wash their feet and offer ridges. Now, sometimes there are pictures of some sadhus. The picture themselves, they are both raising their legs, you know, as if showing, you know, oh, my ashirwad is there. All of you take my charan dhuli and get ashirwad. This is not at all actually a saintly attitude. Now, a true saint isn't actually, even when only disciple that may allow to, the true saint will allow to touch the feet. Now, raising one's legs, this is generally not a very devotional attitude. So, in some cases, some devotees may photograph the lotus feet of the spiritual master, and that is okay. But posing like that is very, it can very often be just tapo dambhe na chaiva. It can be it out of dambha. That is unfortunate. Then Krishna talks about austerity in the mode of ignorance. Modhagraheena manoyam pidaya kriyate tapah parasya utsadanartham va tattamasamudaritam. So moodha grahen means moodha is foolishness. So that austerity is performed with foolishness, which is performed with grahen. You know, there's a lot of endeavor in all of it. Atmanoyat pidayate pidaya pidaya kriyate. I mean, that which leads to tormenting of oneself. Not only does it torment oneself, parasya utsadanartham va. So one also wants to cause destruction. Prabhupada parasya utsadanartham, Prabhupada translated as annihilation. Atat tamasam udharat. So austerity which a person performs because of for destroying others, that is austerity in the mode of ignorance. So Prabhupada gives the example of Hiranyakashipu in the purport, and also there is the example of how Mrukasur, he did austerity to please Lord Shiva. And what was the first one? What was the kind of austerity? Both are there. Pidaya kriyate, you know. So what was the pidaya? Actually, he was just cutting off his own flesh. He was cutting off his own flesh and offering into the fire. And then finally, he was about to cut off his own head. And Lord Shiva appeared not because he was pleased, but he felt pity for him. Why should a person kill oneself like this? So Lord Shiva appeared. And then when Lord Shiva said, what benediction do you, what did he say? So whoever I touch, let that person die. This is an example of parasya utsadanartham va. When one does austerity for the causing of distress and devastation to others. So we know how jealousy works, envy works. There is that anecdotal story of, it may be apocryphal but illustrates the principle that there is one person who meditated and did austerity and pleased God. And then God appeared in front of him and said, what do you want? He says, I'll give you whatever you want, but one condition. Whatever you get, your neighbor will get the double of that. So the idea is that the God wanted to inculcate him in a feeling of a bonding between the two, and one also wanted to test him. So what does person think? He said, oh God, please break one of my eyes and make that eye blind. What was the idea? If I lose one eye, my neighbor will lose both eyes and become permanently blind. Then what is the standard? Parasya utsadanartham va. So one thing that others' misery is one's own pleasure. So this is tamasa uchchate. This is in the mode of ignorance. Now, after talking about tapa, now Krishna will talk about So first he's talking about yagya, then he's talking about tapas, now he'll talk about dana. So let's look at the dana quickly. दातव्यम इति यद्दानं दियते अनुपकारिणे देशे काले च पात्रे च तद्दानं सात्विकं स्मृतं दातव्यम इति यद्दानं दातव्यम दैट मींस इज वर्थ गिविंग दिस एप्रोप्रिएट टू गिव दियते अनुपकारिणे व्हेन वी गिव वी डू अनुपकारिणे वी डोंट एक्सपेक्ट अदर्स टू गिव अस समथिंग बैक अनुपकारिणे Deshe kale cha patre cha. According to time, place and circumstance. Deshe kale cha patre cha. Tad dhanam, that dana is sattvikam smritam. That dana is in goodness. So again, the commonality we see is what? That it is, first of all, the commonality which you see all with all goodness earlier, that there is no attachment. One is not expecting a material result from it. And one gives deshe kale cha patre cha. So actually austerity, it is said that sacrifice and it is charity should be given to the right person at the right time. So for example, it is told that on Ekadashi one can give charity to Brahmana and things like that. So the idea is when we do these things, these are activities which can benefit others, and we do them at the right time, then we get more benefit, because according to certain time, place, circumstance, certain activities are considered more auspicious and less auspicious at certain times. So now, Prabhupada will talk about there is no recommendation for giving charity indiscriminately. Now we may wonder, if the poor are starving, shouldn't they be given charity? The point is not that they shouldn't be given charity. The point is that it should be given in a way that helps others. So in general, in Vedic culture, poor people were given food. Now generally, people who are of a Shudra mentality, if they get money, they will misuse it. There are so many families, even in today's society, where the husband is alcoholic. And then the husband is alcoholic, what does the husband do? The husband gets money, uses that money to maybe abuse the wife, abuse the children, and then just spends all the money on alcohol. So people, giving them money can be a curse for them. Better that instead of giving them money, give them resources that can't be misused. So if food is given, then that can't be misused. So when it is talked about goodness, passion, ignorance, the point is not that we have to be hard-hearted and insensitive to others' suffering. But we also have to be intelligent so that what we are offering to help others actually helps others. Then Krishna talks about yattu pratyupkarartham phalam uddishyava puna diyate cha pariklishtam tadanam raja samsmritam yattu pratyupkarartham. So when one gives charity with the expect of pratyupkarartham, as I am giving something, you will give me something back. Pratyupkar, earlier it was anupakarine, so opposite of that is pratyupkarartham. So one expects something in return for that. Phalam uddishyava puna, one expects that something I'll get in return for. And then diyate cha pariklishtam, on the other hand, pariklishtam means grudgingly, Prabhupada translates, resentfully. Taddanam raja samsmritam. So pariklishtam means I don't want to give charity, but because of social pressure, because of some other factors, I have to give some charity. So internally I am resenting it. Why do I have to give it? So as we discussed earlier, our actions are important, but our motivations are even more important. So when the motivation is not proper, in passion what happens is, the focus is, what will I get in return? So if I am trying to get material honor and material returns, then I am always calculating, okay, if I give this much, in the future I will get that much. That's like something that I am doing a savings bank. So if I put this much money, then it will increase, and then I can get this much back. On the other hand, if I put... So the idea is, if I give charity to some religious thing, then the idea is maybe God will increase it 10 times and give it to me in the future again. So that is the idea which people have. If that is the motive with which people are giving, then that is not really a noble motive. And then what happens if one doesn't have that faith that I'll get something in return, or one doesn't feel that, okay, this, maybe this is not the kind of investment that I want to make? Then pariklishtam, then I've forced to give. Grudgingly one gives. And that grudging attitude creates an impression which doesn't allow us to move forward in spiritual life. It doesn't allow us to cries about the mode of passion. Then Krishna talks about charity in the mode of ignorance. Adeshakale yaddanam apatrebhyascha diyate asatkritam avagyatam tattamasam udharitam. So adeshakale yaddanam, adeshakale, without considering the right place, the right time, yaddanam, when one gives charity, adeshakale yaddanam apatrebhyascha diyate. Apatrebhyas, one gives to an unworthy person. Asatkritam avagyatam, asatkritam, without respect, without proper attention. Now what does respect and attention mean? So for example, now if a drunkard is going to a bar, and then along the way, after drunkard comes out with 4 or 5 bottles of liquor with them to go back to home and then drink more, and then sees a beggar along the street and he says, a half open bottle is there, he says, take this, tu bhi kya yaad rakhega, you know, take and drink and enjoy. So what kind of charity is that? That person is giving something which is going to harm others. So that kind of charity is in the mode of ignorance. So apatrebhyascha. So if one doesn't give it proper attention, proper respect, sometimes when charity is given, those who are getting the charity, they are made to grovel, fall at the feet, beg, that's boot licking. Somehow the person has to come 10 times, 20 times, 100 times, and then after that give something to that person. So when one doesn't respect the person properly, then that is also not considered proper charity. Because the whole idea of charity is not that we are just giving to that person. We understand what we have got from Krishna, I have to offer back to Krishna. So when I learn to respect other people also, firstly as human beings and then as parts of Krishna, then I, even if I am wealthy and even if I am doing others a favor, that doesn't mean that I have to push my foot into their throat and assert my authority. No. I have to actually be properly respectful. So adeshakale yaddanam, adeshakale. So earlier it was deshakala, one sees. One doesn't see the desh, one doesn't see the kala, and one gives charity. Apatrebe. So deshakala patra is important. Here in charity and ignorance, there is no deshakala patra consideration. And that is very misleading. That is very unfortunate. Asatkritam. So such charity is in the mode of ignorance. Now after describing this charity, Krishna will now move forward and describe about how whatever activities are done, we can make them transcendental by reciting Om Tat Sat. That we will discuss in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.